Heavenly Father, we come today and we thank you for being a loving God. We thank you for all the wonderful blessings that you have given us. Father, we lift up the children as they go to junior church. We ask for a blessed time that they'll have, that you will plant some seeds and water some seeds. And again, Father, we thank you so much for the people who volunteer to teach our children. That's such an important position to have, and we don't take them for granted, and we thank you for them. Father, now we come to your precious word. We ask that you would be with us as we study your word today. Father, may it be truthful, may it be uplifting, and always, Father, may we not be just hearers of your word, but may we be followers, doers of your word. And it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to continue in our sermon series on the Gospel according to John. Gospel according to John. And as we turn to the final verses of John chapter 14, we come face to face with a question that sits quietly beneath the surface of so many hearts. And that is, where can true peace be found? Where can true peace be found? You see, we live in a world today that talks endlessly about peace. Just turn on the news today, and that's all you're hearing. Peace, 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 peace. You name it. Peace of mind, inner peace, world peace. But for all the talk about peace, there seems to be little of it. We live in a generation today that is so anxious, that is so overwhelmed and so exhausted. And I can't figure out why. Why? We have more resources than we've ever had. We have more access to technology than we've ever had, yet less rest for the soul. But friends, the good news is that the verses that we're going to look at this morning, we see Jesus offering his disciples something radically different than the world has to offer. And we're not talking about a self-help formula. We're not talking about a distraction. We're not even talking about a shallow motivational phrase. Jesus offers himself. He offers them his peace, a peace that flows from his perfect obedience, a peace that comes from the finished work of the cross, and a peace that comes from the sovereign plan of the Father. And here's the thing, he doesn't just give us this peace when everything is okie dokie, when everything is calm and safe. No, he gives us peace right in the middle of the storm. Friends, look at what's happening here in our story in John chapter 14. The shadow of the cross is falling. Judas has left the building. The betrayal is taking place right now. And what does Jesus do? Does Jesus freak out? No. Jesus looks at his disciples and says, "Peace I leave with you." In the middle of the greatest storm in his life, he says, "My peace I give to you." And friends, we're not talking about a peace of escape. We're talking about the peace of Jesus Christ in the midst of a trial. A peace that is anchored in eternity. A peace that is rooted in the sovereignty of God. So as we prepare to open the Word of God together, I want to invite you to consider this. Are you living the kind of peace that only Christ can give? Let me repeat that. Are you living with the kind of peace that only Christ can give? Is your heart anchored to Him? Well, if you have your Bibles, let's open them up to John chapter 14. We're going to look at verses 27 through 31. I'm reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, the LSB. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. How about I repeat that? He's talking to us too, okay? Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it happens, so that when it does happen, you may believe. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. Get up and let us go from here. Now, in these verses, Jesus and his disciples, they are still in the upper room in Jerusalem. And before they leave and they start that half-mile walk to the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus offers his disciples the promise of peace to replace their fear and their frustration. Look again at what Jesus said in verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Notice that Jesus said that this peace is his peace. He said it's not the peace that the world offers. And that's because the world doesn't understand peace. Now, I realize we sure do like to talk about world peace a lot. Turn on the news and that's all everybody's talking about. Peace, 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 peace. And don't get me wrong, that is a noble goal. But according to an article in the New York Times, in almost 4,000 years of recorded human history, there have only been 200 years of peace. Think about that. In 4,000 years of recorded history, there has only been about 200 years of true peace. And let's face it, those years of peace are just pauses so the armies can what? Reload. Now, is it possible to have true inner peace? I don't know. But I do know that you can have the peace Jesus offers now. Whatever you're going through, whatever might be your crisis, your problem, your issue. So what I want to do today is I want to share three ways that you can claim this powerful promise of peace that only Jesus can give. Three ways that you can claim this promise of peace. First way that you can claim this promise is you need to know that God is there. God is there. God knows what each of you are going through right now. I may not. You may not know what I'm going through, and I may not know what you're going through, but God does. And here's the thing. He promised here that he would always be with you. Always would be with you. I mean, that's what it says in Psalm chapter 139. It tells us that God knows everything about us. He knows when we sit down, and he knows when we get up. Guess what, Stephen? He even knows what you're thinking right now. Jackie, he knows what you're thinking. Larry, he knows what you're thinking. Paula, he knows what you're thinking. So if you're needing peace, well, friends, he not only knows it, but he's offering it to you now. Corrie Ten Boom, she survived a Nazi concentration camp. She wrote these words, "There is no pit so deep that God is not deeper still." And how true is that? Just look at the words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And let me remind you, when Paul wrote these words, Paul was in a dungeon. And what does he write? Be anxious for nothing. The dude is in prison. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. How many of you do that? And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension or all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Friends, that is the answer. Whenever you find yourself anxious, you just need to turn to the Lord in prayer and claim His serenity. How many of you have ever heard of the serenity prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That's a prayer I prayed many, 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 many times. You know, someone actually came up with a parody of that prayer called the senility prayer, which says, God, grant me the senility to forget the people I never liked anyway, the good fortune to run into the ones I do, and the eyesight to know the difference. Now, why do I tell you that? I tell you that because God's eyesight is perfect. God sees what you're facing. Do you really think that what you're going through right now has caught God off guard? Do you really think He's in heaven right now going, I didn't see that one coming. Does anybody here think that? That God has been caught off guard by what you're going through? No, our sovereign God sees and knows everything. So that means that when you're in pain, when you're searching for peace, the first thing to know is God is there and He sees what you're facing. And there's a word for that. It's a wonderful Christian word. It's called the providence of God. Providence. It means that God not only sees what's happening to us now, He also sees what's ahead. And for a true born-again believer, do you know what's ahead in Christ? Glory. Our problem is we don't look that far ahead. We look to our circumstances, what we're going through right now. And the Bible says we are to look ahead to what? Glory. Someday your old broken down bodies are going to be glorified. And if I don't get a hallelujah from that, I'm not going to get a hallelujah. Glorified. That's where we need to look. What's ahead for a Christian is glory. So that's the first thing. You need to know that God is there, that He's sovereign. He knows everything. He knows what you're going through. Second way that we can claim the promise of peace is to know that God is aware. He knows what you're afraid of. He knows what you're afraid of. Look again at what it says in verse 27. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Now, the reason Jesus spoke those words is because He knew what the disciples were going through. They were going through some anxiety. These boys were going through some fear. They were going through some uncertainty. I mean, their world was about to be what? Turned upside down. Everything familiar to these guys for the last 3 years was about to change. So Jesus speaks into their fears with supernatural assurance. He looks at them and He looks at us today and He says, do not be afraid. Friends, let me tell you, Christ does not issue empty commands. When he tells us not to be afraid, it's not a call to pretend everything is okay. That's the big problem we have today. How are you doing? I'm doing good. Yeah, right. Like that's going to make everything better if we pretend. We try to fool ourselves into everything is good. We're going to fool God, too. Everything is good. Instead, you know what this is when he says, do not be afraid? It's a call to rest in the truth that he's already knows what's causing the fear, and he's already there. He's already there. I love what the psalmist says in 139, verses 1 and 2. O Yahweh, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. Friends, nothing is hidden from God. Do you believe that? Nothing is hidden from God. He sees the mother or the grandmother who's worried about her children or her grandchildren. He sees the man who fears losing his job. He sees the widow whose heart aches in the quiet moments of the night. And he doesn't turn away. That's when he draws near. My goodness, this is the God who numbers the hairs on your head. The God who says in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will make you mighty. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Friends, God isn't just aware in a general sense. He personally is attentive to his children. And that, my friends, is what we call covenant care. That's a love. The steadfast love of our Lord in action. And then, listen here. This is not about feelings and emotions, okay? I just don't feel like having peace. I just don't feel like being happy. I don't feel like putting a smile on my face. This isn't about that. This isn't about feelings. This isn't about emotions. This is about theology. This is a peace that is rooted in this. In God's omniscience and his providence. This is a belief that God sees all, knows all, and he has, yes, ordained all. Friends, there is not one rogue molecule in the universe that operates outside the sovereign will of God. And because of that, you can rest and I can rest. We can say with confidence, my Father knows, my Savior sees, and nothing will come to me that has not passed through his sovereign hand. So when Jesus says, do not let your heart be troubled, he's inviting us to a peace that is not based on ignorance, but it is based on this. On intimate knowledge. He's saying, I know what you're going through, I care what you're going through, and I am not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you alone. Whatever you're carrying today, and I look out at some of you, and some of you are carrying a heavy burden. Some of you are carrying heavy, heavy, heavy load. I just want you to know that God knows and he has not forgotten you. And friends, that means that you do not have to be ruled by fear. The one who walked on the water sees you in the storm. The one who conquered death, he knows the battle you're in. He's allowed you to be in it. And he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. All right, let's finish this up. The third way that we can claim this promise of peace is to know that God cares. He knows how you're feeling. You know, if you read the book of Hebrews, it makes it very clear that Jesus Christ, who is our high priest, it says that he knows our weaknesses. Now, how can that be? How can he know our weaknesses? Because the book of Hebrews tells us that he was tempted in every way that we're tempted, but he never sinned. How many of you realize worry is a sin? And yet Scripture tells us that Jesus was tempted in every way, including what? The temptation to worry. Jesus knows that temptation. He never gave in to it, like we do. How many of you know fear is a worry? Fear, too, is a worry. Now, there's different kinds of fear. The fear I'm talking about is the one that keeps us from trusting God. I'm not talking about the fear of a rattlesnake. You better have the fear of a rattlesnake, okay? If there's a big bull in a pen, you better have a good, honest fear of that bull because he will tear you up. Okay, that's not the fear I'm talking about. Yeah, fear can be very, very good for us. It keeps us from being stupid and getting hurt sometimes. But that's not the fear I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fear that keeps us from trusting God. And Jesus was also tempted to... You don't think Jesus was tempted to be afraid with the cross staring him in the face? You don't think that temptation of fear was there? He knows. He understands everything you're going through because he was there. He walked it. He knows exactly how you feel when fear and anxiety grip your heart. He just never gave in to it like we do. The Bible tells us that Jesus sympathizes with our weaknesses. That when you and I are at his lowest, that's when his compassion is at the highest. Wonderful story in the book of Mark where Jesus and his disciples, they found themselves in the middle of a storm. You remember that story in the Sea of Galilee? And Jesus is in the back of the boat, what? He didn't give in to fear. Didn't give in to worry. And what do the disciples do? They wake him up from a nice nap. The dude is sleeping, and they wake him up and say, hey, don't you care that we're about to all die? That's a pretty good question, I think. And I'm sure that every person here has wanted to ask God at one time or another that same question. God, I'm hurting. Don't you care? God, I have lost my job. Don't you care? God, I have cancer. Don't you care? God, I just lost my wife. I just lost my husband. I just lost my mom. I just lost my dad. Don't you care? We've all asked that question. Doesn't make you a bad person, makes you human. And I'm just here today just to remind you. That's all preaching is. To remind you what you already know. That God does care. And sometimes Jesus calms the storms of life. And sometimes Jesus calms our hearts in the midst of life's storms. Never forget that. Where do you grow? You grow in storms. That's when you grow. When your life, when everything is coming up roses, you don't even think about God. You really don't. But when you're going through a storm, that's when you are what? Grabbing hold of God with everything you've got. That's when you are in this more than you've ever been before. That's how you grow. And God knows that. He knows that. We all know that a hurricane is a very, very devastating force of nature. But do you know that at the center of every hurricane, there's something called the eye? And in the eye, it's calm and it's peaceful. The sun will actually be shining in the eye of a hurricane. Birds will even start flying around in the eye of the storm. And there's a lesson that we can learn from that. And the lesson is this. When you know that God truly cares for you, that's when you can have peace in the eye of the storm while everything else is breaking loose around you. You want to know how much God cares for you? Look at these words of Isaiah chapter 49, verses 15 and 16. Can a woman forget her infant and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. God has inscribed you on the palms of his hands. Your walls are continually before me. I love what the British pastor Charles Spurgeon said about this verse. He says, God says, I have engraved you. He didn't say your name. Though the name is there, but that is not all. God says, I have engraved your person, your image, your circumstances, your sins, your temptations, your weaknesses, your wants, your works, everything about you, all that concerns you, I have put all of this together here. Will you ever say again that your God has forsaken you when he has engraved you on his own palms? Now again, remember the setting of these words of Jesus. They are at the last night before his crucifixion. And Jesus is going to continue to teach his disciples throughout the night as they walk to the Garden of Gethsemane. And the last thing Jesus says to them before he comes to his great prayer in John chapter 17 is found in John chapter 16, verse 33. And it's all about the promise of this peace, and it's one of my favorite verses that I do cling to. These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulations. I like a different translation. In this world you will have trouble. In this world you will have trouble, but take courage. I have overcome the world. The key word here in this verse is in me. Friends, when you're in Jesus and Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is in you, that's when you can experience this supernatural peace that passes all human understanding. Well, everything is falling apart. People look at you and say, how can this person be so peaceful? That's because they've grabbed onto the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. You know, I don't know if you figured it out yet, but this life is a series of battles. And when I say battles, I'm talking about physical battles, I'm talking about emotional battles, and I'm talking about spiritual battles. But as followers of Jesus Christ, we need to remember that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I'm going to close. And I want to close with a story of a very, very strange battle that took place in the Old Testament. Found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It happened when Jehoshaphat, which is probably my favorite name in the Bible. Is that not a great name? Jehoshaphat. It's fun to say. When Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. Now, in the story, there were three massive armies that were bearing down, and they were ready to attack King Jehoshaphat's armies. He was totally outnumbered. So he cries out to God, and he says, God, we are powerless. We are absolutely going to get crushed. We are powerless against this great our enemy. We don't know what to do. But you know what? We look to you. That's a pretty good prayer, don't you think? I don't know what to do, but I look to you. And God responded by saying, don't worry. Don't be fearful. I'm going to fight the battle for you. But here's what you need to do. When you head out to battle, instead of putting the mightiest soldiers out front, I want you to put your praise and worship team out front. I want you to put your singers out front. And when they start praising me, I'm going to give you the victory. True story. This is in the Old Testament. You can read for it yourself in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now, what would you have said if you had been Jehoshaphat? I know myself pretty well. I would have looked at the Lord or said to the Lord, I think you got this backwards. Have you lost your mind? I'm going to put the singers first. We're going to put the praise and worship team first. How about we do this, God? How about you give me the victory first, and then I'll bring the singers out? How about we do that, and then we'll praise you? But that's not what God said. God said, I want you to do it my way. Praise first, and then I'll give you victory. And this is where wisdom comes in with Jehoshaphat. He agrees. He puts the best singers on the front line, and these dudes march into battle singing, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. That's a song, by the way, isn't it? Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Now, I imagine the enemy armies expected the fiercest warriors would be on the front lines. I'm sure they weren't expecting the choir. Don't you think that they were laughing at these clowns? Now, look at these idiots. Well, what are they doing? I would have laughed. I would have mocked those singing soldiers. But then something strange happens. The Bible tells us that these three armies, what did they do? They started attacking each other. They totally wiped out each other. And the army of Judah, they just continued to march forward singing, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. And by the time the real army of Judah arrived, the enemy had already been destroyed. They wiped themselves out. They expected warfare, and what did they find? Peace. Friends, there's some lessons in this story. First, as you and I face this invisible army called fear, we may feel overwhelmed. But instead of giving in to that fear, how about we act like Jehoshaphat? And how about we pray this prayer in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12? How many of you have prayed this prayer? O our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us. We do not know what we should do. But our eyes are on you. Is that not a great prayer? You're going through cancer. You're going through the loss of a job. You're going through a loss of a spouse. You're going through whatever you're going through. Lord, I don't know what to do. I have no idea what I should be doing. But my eyes are on you. The second lesson we learn here is that it's often easier to praise God after the battle is over, but that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says that we are to praise God even in the middle of the battle. Don't wait until the storm passes to lift up your hands in worship. You need to get out on the front lines today with your praise and with your worship and with your trust in the Lord. Stand firm and declare, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. That's how you move from panic to peace. Write that on your mirror. Put it on your refrigerator. If you're like me, you go to the refrigerator 100 times a day. Put that baby right there. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Again, that's how you move from fear to peace. That's how you invite God's presence into your struggle. Now, it's a beautiful thing to have peace of God. That's a gift that he gives to all of his children. If you are a child of God, he gives you his peace. But friends, before you can receive the peace of God, you must first have peace with God. Let me repeat that. Before you can receive the peace of God, you have to have peace with God. You see, the truth is, your sins and my sins, they have separated us from a holy God. The Bible tells us that if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are not at peace with God. You are an enemy of God. Not my words, the Bible's words. But thank goodness God didn't leave us there, did he? No. He sent Jesus Christ, his precious son, to die on the cross so that through his sacrifice, you and I could have peace with God the Father. That's the only way to have peace with God the Father, is through Jesus Christ the Son. And the most important question that you'll ever answer is this one. Do I have peace with God? Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ can give you that kind of peace. And here's the thing, he offers it freely. And that's because God loves you. Friends, God's desire, more than anything, is he wants to forgive you your sins. He wants to restore what is broken. And he wants to bring you into a relationship of lasting peace through his finished work on the cross. And let me tell you something, once you have truly made peace with God, then even in the middle of life's chaos, you can experience the peace of God. But first, you have to have peace with God. And if you have never experienced that peace, it's the greatest peace you can have. It's a peace that steadies your heart in the middle of a storm. You can go to bed and you can sleep pretty good because God's got this. Nothing happens unless he allows it to happen or he causes it to happen. He's sovereign. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we sure do thank you for the peace that Jesus has promised. And it's not a peace that the world gives, but a peace that remains even in the midst of our sorrow, our uncertainty, and our fears. Oh, Father, would you help us to trust not only in our circumstances, but, Father, in your sovereign hand, in your faithful heart. Father, for every anxious heart here today, would you please remind them that you are near? That you have not been caught off guard by their struggles, that you see, that you know, and that you do care. So So, Father, let your Spirit comfort and guide us just as Jesus promised. Father, strengthen us to walk in obedience, to trust in your precious word, and to find rest in your presence. Let not our hearts be troubled, and neither let them be afraid. For, Father, you reign, and your peace is ours through the precious cross.